Okay, so we got to the very top of Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rav, Megillah Bizmana Korin Oso Afil B'Yachid, when the Megillah is read in the proper time, so one can read the Megillah even with one on his own. Shalom Bizmana Basar, but if it's not in the right time, then you need 10 people. So what does that mean, Bizmana Shalom Bizmana? So Rashi writes on the top line, Bizmana means B'Yudald, Mitoch Shehi Chova Bobayom, Akoyach B'Yachid, since it's an obligation on everyone to read on the 14th. And every single person is reading, although it's not collectively, they're each reading in their own home on their own, that's still going to generate Pirsim and Issa because everyone's going to be doing it. It's going to create a some public event. Not public event, but it's going to create some sound. Shalobizman, if it's not in the right time, Kigong Kfarim Hamakdimim Lioma Knisa, if just certain villages are reading earlier, it's not going to be such a big event. Then Ein Koron Asael Asara Debeinan Pirsum Nisa. Then you can only read it with 10 people, because only with 10 people generate Pirsum Nisa. But if individuals are reading on their own, a little one person here, one person there, one person there, that's not going to generate Pirsum Nisa. And of course, one of the most important things about Megillah reading is the Pirsum Nisa that's generated from it. That's all according to the first opinion of Rav. Mark brings the opinion of Asi Amar. Bein bizmana bein shalom bizmana basar. Even in the right time, even when you read it on the 14th, Rav Asi still requires 10 people. So Rashi explains why. Rav Asi amar bein bizmana bein shalom bizmana mitzvah lachazer achaser. There still is a big Indian to look to seek out 10 people, even when it's bizmana. Yishim persimanisa. So because of persimanisa, even when there's everyone's reading it, there's not going to be persimanis. If I'm reading in my house and you're reading in your house, that's not going to create persimanis. Only for when there are 10 people together is there going to be persimanisa. Aval Rashi continues, Ilo Ashkech Asara, Lo Amar Vasi, Dilo Lukre. If you can't find 10, Rav Asi is not going to tell you, don't read it at all, just forget the mitzvah at all. Shein Isser Kriyasa B'Yachad, they don't Isser to read it by yourself. El Mitzvah Lukrosa B'Asara, the best thing, mitzvah bin Amuf, of course, to find 10 people. If you can't find 10 people, you certainly should still read it. So the Gemara brings a story of Harry Paskin. So the Gemara says, Hava Uvda, there's once in Maisa, Mechashle Rav Lahadr Vasi. Rav himself, who argued Rav Asi, he himself was choshesh for the pinner of Asi, and he said that even though we're reading Bizmana, it's really best to have 10 people. So the Gemara says, before we get to the Gemara, there's a Tosos here on the top, I'm not going to read through the whole thing, but he goes on to prove that the real halacha is like Rav. Rav was just choshesh for Rav Asi, but for a number of reasons, Rav is really the halacha, which means Bizmana, a person is allowed to read it biyachid. Rav was just still choshesh as a added level, as a hiddur for Rav Asi, but that's not how the psak is. So Gemara says now, does Rav really say this, that Bizmana, we passing that you need 10 people? The Ha'amar of Yehuda Brumul Bar Shilas, Mishmed Rav. This statement was said in the name of Rav. Perm Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. So the 14th of Adar falls out on a Shabbos. So Erev Shabbos is Manam. The proper time to read for this given year is going to be Friday because you can't read on Shabbos like we mentioned yesterday. So Friday the 13th is the day you read the Megillah. So Erev Shabbos is Manam. Is Friday really the right time? V'ha Shabbos Manam. No. The right time is the Shabbos, but just for technical reasons we can't read on the Shabbos, so we're reading the 13th on Friday. But that's not really a proper time. So why is the Gemara saying, oh, this is Manam, this is Friday?
Ella. Can that fall on Friday?
No, it can. But let's say a year where it falls out on Shabbos. So you can't read it on Shabbos because you can't read Megillah on Shabbos. You push it off to Friday. So what does it mean that we're calling this Zmanam, the proper time is Friday? That's not the proper time. Ella lav hachi kamar. Is this not the way to read it? That Shalob Zmanam, Kizmanam, that the Shalob Zmanam, the improper time, meaning Friday, which is not the right time, we're going to treat it like it's the proper time. Just like on the proper time in general, Rav holds, you could read it, even a Yachid could read it, Bizmanam, Af Shlobizmanam Afil Biyachid, even when it's not the right time, even when you're reading it on the 13th, we're going to treat it like this manam, meaning you could still read it Biyachid. So we see from here that Rav holds, you don't have to read it Besar ever, even Shlobizmanam you could read it Biyachid. So Gemara says, lo, nothing to do with that. Really, in a Mikra Megillah Basara. It's not, nothing to do with reading with 10 or not reading with 10. Elamai Erev Shabbos, Manam, why do we call Friday being the proper time when it's not really the proper time? What it really means is Lafuki mid Rebbe, to exclude the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe held, Hov nidchu ayaros mim komom yitchu yom haknisa. So Rebbe felt that since the 14th falls out on Shabbos and you don't read it on Shabbos, so we're pushing it off to someday. Why don't you push it off? Let's push it off to Thursday to Yom HaKnisa. It's a more convenient day. Don't read it on Friday. So Kamash Malan, this statement of Rav teaching us, the Erev Shabbos Manamhu. Don't think you should push it back to Thursday. No, the proper time to read it this year is Fridays. Fridays is Manam this year. But nothing to do with reading with 1 or 10 people. Nothing to do with that. Rather, it's simply Fridays is Manam and not Thursday. Okay, now we're up to the new Mishnah. Mishnah tells us, Ezi Ir Gedola, what's considered a large city? Kol Sheish Ba'asar Batlanim. We saw this quoted yesterday already. Any city that has 10 Batlanim, 10 people sitting, not doing any work, just in the base knesses all day, so you have a guaranteed minyan. Such a place is called a big city. And Pachas Mikan Hareza Kvar, less than that is considered a village. So if it's less than 10, the villagers are allowed to go to the big cities to read earlier. If it's a big city but has less than 10, they're also allowed to go to another big city. So let's say, for example, Manhattan is a pretty big city, and I'm sure there are 10 people who are not working. There's a kol there sitting, and probably a few kol of them sitting it. So let's say you have Queens. So Manhattan's one place, Queens next to it. Let's say there's no kol in Queens, but it's a pretty big place, Queens. If there are no 10, if they're not 10 but Ludham, so the people in Queens are allowed to go to Manhattan on Monday and Thursday to hear the reading, because they don't have 10 people in Queens. But in Manhattan, which has 10 people sitting in the kollel, Batlanim sitting in a kollel learning or davening all day long, they're not allowed to read earlier. They have to read on the proper day. Yudalid, whether it's on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they have to read on that given day.
It's not in the language.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right. Well, the truth is, when you look at the Rishonim, what the Batlanim are, they simply say they're batel from work. They don't mention that they're sitting there learning. All it says, they're batel from work and they sit in the base knesses. There's no discussion of a kollel, really. Now, there's a discussion they've shown him. This mission is talking about a big city versus a village in regarding to unwalled. What about a walled city? For a walled city to read on the 15th, does that also have to have 10 batlanim? Or once it's a walled city, regardless of the batlanim or not, it's considered a walled city has to read on the 15th. So it's machlok shown whether or not that a walled city could be a walled city and no impact whether it has 10 batlanim or not. Or no, that too is dependent on 10 batlanim. So meaning, let's say you have a walled city, but they don't have 10 batlanim, they could read on Yom Kanisa also. And others say no. If it's a walled city, even though they have less than 10 batlanim, their day is the 15th, even though there's no 10 batlanim. And some say they have the option. If they have a walled city of less than 10 batlanim, they could either read on the 15th, or they could read on Yom Kanisa. So there's an interesting discussion they've shown. It's a three-way machlokas. Exactly. Three-way machlokas here.
Okay. You said something interesting that we said that that the reason is because to bring the zonos in a small city, but here it says that a big city was there is no point.
Right, the self-sufficient.
So it says that basically that the tircha of going on the day for far away and coming back takes away from the simcha, so they wanted to avoid to be memayed on the simcha, and so they should have the whole day where they live.
Interesting. Who says that? That's interesting.
There's Hayein Ritva.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The Ritva.
Okay, very interesting. Okay. But this, anyways, but in terms of Balaam, I'm seeing here, they're quoting here, this is a, these 10 cult members are supposed to be supported by the community. So this is a big Indian to have like such a cult. Okay. Fine. So now the Mishnah continues and says that where are we? Ba'elu amu makdimim lom achrin. So what we just mentioned, these days of Megillah reading, when you're supposed to read it, the 14th and 15th are the ideal days, and you're allowed to read it earlier up until the 11th. But we don't delay. We never push off the laying of the Megillah beyond the 15th. We just said the pasuk told us in Beis Amin Aleph lo yavor. You can't pass beyond the days of the 14th and the 15th. Now the Mishnah says, however, this is in contrast to Aval Zman Atzei Kohanim. The Zman Atzei Kohanim, which we should be familiar with from the Gemara, is the end of Tainus, that the times that they brought the wood, and the Tisha B'Av, and Chagiga, the day they brought the carbon Chagiga on the Yom Tovim, Hakel is the year after Shemitah, which is not going to be this year Sukkot, but the next year Sukkot, the first day of Chol HaMoed, there's a mitzvah Hakel. It's a fascinating mitzvah where the king would read a whole section of the Sefer Torah. Everyone, men, women, and children would come. These events, again, Zman Atzei Kohanim, Tisha B'Av, Chagiga, and Hakel, would be Ma'achan Ul Makdimin. You push it off, but you would not make them come earlier than they're supposed to. There's a very long Rashi. Let's read through this Rashi because there are some interesting things here along the lines. So So let's see Rashi's man atay kwanim vaham. Ha'omer b'pesachas tainis shayu mishpachal shal Yisrael shakavu lehem yamin b'chol shana lahavi etim. There were certain families that had a designated day where they would bring etim lemikdash. The tzarach hamaracha for the purpose of the mizbeach. Umivin carbon etim imahim. They bring a carbon etim with a carbon that would actually be brought on top of the mizbeach made of wood. Imchal yos b'shabbos ma'achrin. Now if this day would fall out on Shabbos, they would push the day off to Sunday. They would dedicate it on Sunday instead of Shabbos. Yom Machar. V'chein Tisha B'Av, this is an important line now. V'chein Tisha B'Av, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. If it falls out on Shabbos, we push it off to Sunday. V'hu Adin L'Shivasa B'Tamuz, U'la Asara B'Tavis. So this is very interesting, Asara B'Tavis. We'll get to it in a second. So why, if other Tainus Tzibors are included in this, meaning if it falls out on Shabbos, we don't make it Friday, rather we push it off to Sunday. So why do we mention only Tisha B'Av in the Mishnah? So Rashi explains, V'hai denokut Tisha B'Av, Mishum dehuchbalu bo tzaras, because it had multiple bad events happen. Kol mis'anen bo, everyone would fast in Tisha B'Av. So that was communal, a widespread, widely accepted tainus. Aval shar tzomos arminim b'masachas Rosh Hashanah, other fast days, as we remember a few masachas before, ratzim mis'anen, ratzim in mis'anen, you had the option of fasting on the other tzomos. So Tisha B'Av, which was accepted by everybody, that's why that was mentioned in the Mishnah, because the other ones weren't necessarily mentioned. What's interesting about this Rashi is, what is one of these tzomos that he mentions? Exactly, Asar B'Tavis. And there's a well-known Avud Raham brought down in the Beis Yosef that says, Asar B'Tavis is, started the, exactly. So,
the Mator. No, 17 is when the Chomot started falling.
So when he's living in Shereshman, he's left at Shabbat, Adar, Nisan, Yosef, and Tammuz. So like 6 months after only the Chomot fell.
It could have been a year and a half after. Doesn't mean that it happened
in the same year, right?
Oh, yeah, but
the Gemara spoke about it in Rosh Hashanah, the different events, what years they happened, I don't remember all of it. But, so Asar B'Tavis, what's interesting is, so Rashi says, if Asar B'Tavis falls out on Shabbos, you push it off to Sunday. The Avud Raham is brought down, the Beis Yosef says, if Asar B'Tavis were to fall out on Shabbos, but it doesn't, but if it were to, you would keep it on Shabbos itself.
That's why it's only Sunday with
the Friday. Exactly, that too also, right? This past year, it fell on a Friday.
Right.
So, but we see, because the Pasuk says, Be'etzim hayom hazeh, dafka on that day. So Rashi argues, and then Rashi says, no, if Asar B'Tavis were to fall out on Shabbos, you'd actually push it off till Sunday. So that's interesting, Rashi, for that regard. He argues on the Avud Raham. Okay, back to the Mishnah now. The Mishnah says, again, that which we just mentioned is Ma'achin v'l Ma'akdimin. We push off those these days, but we don't make them earlier. And Afal Pish Amu Ma'akdimin v'l Ma'achrim, even though when it comes to Megillah, we say you could read Megillah earlier, but never later. Mutarn behesped uva tainus matanus lavyonim. On the day that you would read earlier, so for example, let's say the Kfarim would read on a Monday earlier, and the Monday ends up being the 12th, for example. So on that day, although they're reading Megillah, they're allowed to fast, and they're allowed to eulogize, and they give matanus lavyonim on those days. Even though normally in Purim we don't fast, and we can't eulogize, when you make the Megillah reading earlier, that's not really a Yom Tov anymore, it's just a day of reading. So all these things are allowed, and you also give the Matanos Avyonim, because we saw yesterday already, that the Aniyim will look forward to the Megillah reading, because that's the day they expected to get their Tzedakah, the Matanos Avyonim. So it wouldn't be fair to them to read Megillah early on the 12th, and they're going to come to the 14th expecting to get paid the Matanos Avyonim, but they're so confused, so therefore they made a Gzera that whenever the Megillah is being read, that's the day of Matanos Avyonim. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Amr Mishnah rather says, Amr Yehuda, Eimasai, when is this all true? The above is true only b'makum shenichnasim b'sheni v'chamishi, when the villagers would actually go to Monday and Thursdays to the big cities. Aval makum shenichnasim lo b'sheni lo b'chamishi, if it was a village that was self-sufficient, they would not need to go make parnasa in the big cities, or they didn't live near a big city, ein kornasa el b'zmanav, they'd only read on the 14th, they would not read earlier. Okay, because remember, the reason being, why were the villagers allowed to read earlier? Because it was a zechus, a sechar they had. They had a sechar for providing food to the big cities. If they weren't providing food to the big cities, they did not have the sechar being able to read in an earlier day. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, Tana asar batlana mishiva besa knesses.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
When we said before Chagiga, here it says, Shalmi Chagiga, kishe yom tov rishon shachar b'shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning what? That we, in that case, we advance.
Yeah. If you
we have a chagiga
on Yom Tov.
It's not Yom Tov.
No, no. On Shalmei Chagiga, when Shalmei Chagiga is supposed to be brought, that every person brings a chagiga, that's brought in day one of Yom Tov.
Right.
If day one of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos, yeah, we don't give it. We push off to the next day in Chol Hamoed.
Okay. So you go later, right? Okay.
Right, right. We push it off, and all the other ones we push off, we don't make earlier. Only Purim do we make earlier.
So Atzekwan and Tisha B'Av and Shamech Hagiga and Hakel, you go later.
You push it off, okay. Exactly.
And only.
So, for example, let's say first day of Chol Hamoed falls out on Shabbos,
right.
So you wouldn't do Hakel, then you do it on Sunday, second day of Chol Hamoed.
So basically, as a rule, we always go early, except for this.
No, the other way around, actually. I think we always go later, except for Megillah, we read earlier.
Ah, so but the Mishnah went the other way around.
Because we're talking about Purim, so that's the focus.
Uh-huh.
But it turns out in more cases we actually push
right,
off.
That's what I was. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So, the Gemara now says that Tana, who are the Asar Batlanim? Like David says, interesting, we call the people Batlanim when they're sitting in the base medrash. Who are they? Just Batlanim. So Gemara says, Tana Asar Batlanim should be base HaKnesses, that they're in the shul. So I just found it interesting that they're in the shul, not in the base medrash. Again, we typically think of a call of people learning in the base medrash. This is mentioning the shul. And you look at Rashi makes no mention of learning. Top a wide line of Rashi, Asar Batlanim should be base Knesses. Shein Batlim Mimlachtam. They don't do anything all day. They don't work. V'nizonim mishel tzibur, and they are supported by the tzibur. Kedei, yos mitzvun b'tfilah b'beis knesses, in order to guarantee that there's always a minyan. D'amar mar m'seches brachos, kevin shabak kodesh baruch b'beis knesses, v'enum motzi shem asara, it gets upset. Miad kois, I think it says.
But the Rambam, the Purush Mishnayot, says that asara elu itmasul itanu Torah b'tzarchei tzibur.
Ah, he says that? Yeah, beautiful.
The Rambam says that.
Okay, I was always looking for that. I didn't know that. The Rambam Peish Mishnayot says, okay, beautiful. You sure?
I didn't make it up. Yeah. I never heard about it before.
So the Rambam, so I hear in the bottom, the Rambam said, not Perish Mishnas, but the Rambam in his... Right, I have a different Rambam. No, the Rambam quoted in Yad Chazaka, he doesn't make mention of learning. He mentioned just in terms of Tefillah. Okay, very good. Very good, okay. Yeah, for some reason they don't quote this. Okay, so they're doing things for the shul, nothing to do with learning. Okay. But it's a great Rambam Perish Mishnah, I never knew that one. Okay. So the Gemara says now, Be'ilu Amru Makdim Vilum Achrin. The mention.
Beside the point, if you cannot find the sarash of the Torah, you're in a bad shape.
No, it's 10 that don't work during the day. You have to do that.
Yes, you're supposed to have many more that not
working
during
those,
the day learning
maybe
Torah.
Maybe in those days he wasn't as.
You would think the opposite. In those days.
They didn't have like.
Because they had no money, they were poor.
So you learned Torah.
The kolim wasn't such a big concept back then, to my understanding. Okay, so the Gemara says now, Be'ilu amru makdimim v'lo ma'achrin. So the situation, the Mikra Megillah are examples of things that you read earlier, and you don't delay the reading of the Megillah. So my time, what's the reasoning? Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra, lo yavor, the Pasuk says. You can't go beyond the 14th and the 15th. V'amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, another statement in his name, completely different topic, but just still the same name of Rabbi Abba, Amar Shmuel, which the Gemara often does, Minayin chain monin liyam lishanim. How do you know when you count years, you don't count days to years? You don't say like a year and 2 days. You say a year and a month, a year and a half a month. You don't say a year and 2 days. How do you know you don't count like that? Shenemar lechad sheshana, the months of the year. Chadashim atamonin lishanim v'iatamonin yam lishanim. You count, you know, the 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and finally you get to 12 months, you get to a year. You don't count, you know, 10 days, 15 days, 31 days, 38 days, 52 days. You don't count like that. You count in terms of months. That's based on the pasuk. Now, what's this halacha relevant for? Rashi says in terms of discussing nedarim. Regarding nedarim, this is a relevant halacha. In Rabbanan, the Kesari Mishum Rabbi Abba Amru, Minayin Shein Mechashvin Shalos Lachadashim. How do you know you don't count hours to months? You count days to months. You don't say, okay, this is the 500th hour of the month. This is the 531st hour of the month. You don't call, you talk, this is the fifth day of the month or something. So the Gemara says, Shenemar, how do you know you count days to months and not hours to months? Shenemar, Ad chodesh yomim, the months of days. Yomim ata mechashiv the chadashim. You count days of months, but v'iata mechashiv shalos the chadashim. You don't count hours of months.
This is for what purpose? For what?
So, right, you see, Rashi Rashi says three wide lines down mi nine. The first one of the line is mi nine she'ain monim yamim l'shanim.
Yeah.
Rashi says kigon damar konim yain shani k'toim l'shana. I say I'm not going to drink wine at all for the entire year. So moni yud beit chodesh miyom liyom. I count 12 months from the day. I count 30 days 12 times till I get to this day next year. Vim nader be'achar benitzan aser ad echar benitzan haba. So you're aser from one the first of Nisan until the next year the first of Nisan. But really, in terms of the calendar year, there's really 11 more days of the solar calendar that I have not reached yet, because that's the difference. There's 354 days of the lunar calendar, 365 days of the solar calendar. Fine. So that's what he says in regards to those halachas.
So we go on the lunar days.
We go in terms of the like month, exactly lunar months, right? Lunar months. Not days, because days. The solar calendar is days. The lunar calendar is months. That's the idea. Now, in regards to hours and months, is an interesting discussion I'm not going to get into right now. Yeah, sure. He shows L'chadash Rashi says, "Kigon ha'omer zek gitech im lebasi mikan ad chodesh sheh." He says to his wife, if I don't return in 30 days, in a month from now, this is going to be your get l'mafrei. He says to his wife. He goes off overseas, not sure if he's going to return. Haya chodesh chaser. Let's say it's a 29-day month. It's missing a day. Uba b'shechashech al yom chavtes. He comes at nighttime after the 29th. What happens now? Ain omrim adain hu besocha chodesh. We don't say it's still within the month. Sharei chadshasha shlavana chavtes yom umechsa. The way the month works is 29 and a half days. We don't go based on the actual month and hours. We go based on how the orbit of the moon is. Fine. So there's a discussion here when it comes to Pidyon HaBen. Pidyon HaBen is 30 days after the firstborn boy is born. So 30 days later, you do Pidyon HaBen. There's a whole discussion whether or not we take into account hours, me'es la'es or not. Or do you go based on 29 and a half days, or do you do based on the exact time he was born? So there's a whole discussion in terms of calculating the hours or calculating the days. I think this becomes a relevant sugya for that.
So we hold that you go by days, not by hours.
Exactly. But I think when it comes to Pidyon HaBen, we paskin based on hours. I think the Shach says based on hours. I didn't look into it here,
but Pidyon HaBen, I think there is no chiyuv to do it on that same day. It's minimum 30 days. 20,
correct. So and therefore you should be more machmir, you're saying?
Maybe.
You may as well wait just to be safe. I guess the question would be, let's say a person did it after 30 days are complete, but before the hours, you got into 30, whether or not b'dieved that works or not. So I think it's a shach or a machmir to wait.
No, the other way around, if you did it within the 29 days.
Right, but the hours, you haven't gotten the full hours, though.
Right, but you haven't, right. So the question is, this is okay.
Yeah, they discuss this back here. Okay.
What about, doesn't it talk about korbanos, all the you know, that have to be, you know, the days and...
The korban, meaning like the animal being 8 days?
But it goes by...
There the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, I think it goes me'es la'es. I think it has to be from the exact hour. I think so. I think we saw it in the first pack of Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Fine. So that says the Gemara now. Where are we? Okay, two dots. Aval zman atse kohanim, v'tishabav, chagiga, v'hakel, all these, ma'achin v'lo makdimin, we delay them, we don't make them earlier. Tishabav, why? Akdumi puranas lo makdimin, because when it comes to puranas, we don't want to bring them on to us earlier, we rather delay them, so therefore we push it off to the next day on a Sunday for Fall Town Shabbos. Chagiga, well, it's late. Chagiga, v'hakel, mishum da'akati lo matez manachiva. Chagiga, we can't make chagiga before Yantif. Because let's say again, first day Yantif is the ideal time to bring the carbon chagiga. So if the first day Yantif falls on Shabbos, we're not going to say bring it on Friday before Yantif exists. Because you can't bring it, as you say, you can't bring chagiga outside of Yantif. And hakel also, because hakel is supposed to be on Sukkot, not before Sukkot. So, mishum da'akati lo matez manachiva, that's why we push off those days. Tana is a brayse that tells us, Chagiga v'chol zman chagiga. What's the halacha? That ma'achin, that you push off the chagiga and the zman chagiga. So Gemara wants to know, what do these things refer to? Bishma chagiga, I understand what chagiga means, the carbon chagiga that we just spoke of. Dim, mikle b'shabasa, ma'achin le levasa shabasa. If the carbon chagiga, meaning the first day of Yom Tov, falls out on Shabbos, we push off to the Sunday on Chol Moed, is when you bring the carbon chagiga. El zman chagiga mahi, what does zman chagiga even refer to? You push off the time of the chagiga. So Gemara has given a few answers what this means. Amar Rav Oshaya Hachi Kamar. Chagiga b'Shabbos v'olas Riyah afil b'Yom Tov. This man Chagiga Machrim. So there are two karbanos that are really brought. There's a chagiga that's brought in every yontif, and there's also an olas ri'iya that whenever we go to aliyah l'rega, we have to accompany it with our aliyah with the olas ri'iya. So what it's saying is, when chagiga, which is normally brought in yontif, if the yontif falls out on Shabbos, we push off the karban chagiga. And olas ri'iya, we always push off, we can never bring the olas ri'iya on yontif. So zman chagiga refers to another karban that's brought during the time of the chagiga, namely the olas ri'iya, that gets pushed off always. We never bring that on yontif. That's what zman chagiga refers to. And we push it off, who does that hold like? Money, beishamahi. That's according to beishamahi, that holds you cannot bring an ola on yontif. As opposed to beishil, says you can bring an ola on yontif. How do we see this? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, I think this is the Mishnah in Beitza. Beishamai omrim, mivin shlomim biyamtiv, vein somchen olam. Beishamai holds, you could bring the shalmi chagiga on yantiv, but you can't do smicha, you can't lean, place your arms, your hands rather, on the head of the shlomim. Aval lo olos, but you cannot bring an ola on yantiv. That's not allowed. However, Beis Hillel omrim, mivin shlomim veolos v'somchen olam. You could bring the shlomim, you could bring the olos, and you could also do smicha. He allows for everything to be done on yantif. So the brice above that we say, Zman chagiga refers to olos riyah, that the olos riyah cannot be brought on yantif, that goes according to Beis Shammai. But Beis Hillel permits you to bring an olos riyah on yantif. That's all according to the first shot of what Zman chagiga means. Rav Amar chagiga means something else. Chagiga calls Zman chagiga ma'achrin tfeilo. Rava says this is not two separate things. There should not be a vav there. It shouldn't be read chagiga vizman chagiga. It should be meant to read chagiga bizman chagiga. The chagiga could be brought during the zman chagiga. What zman chagiga is during the entire yantif. The Mishnah is going to tell us, meaning, the tanan, mi shelo chag biyamtiv rishon, shachag, this is a mission chagiga. Person who does not have the opportunity, he doesn't bring the chagiga on day one of yantif, shachag, of sukkis, chogeg v'holich es kol arega kulo, he can bring the chagiga the remaining days of Chol Moed, and even the last day, which is Shmiat Teres, he could also bring, he has the rest of the Zman, that's called Zman Chagiga. That's how you read the Mishnah. Nothing to do with a different carbon ola. However, if Avar HaRegel, if the Sukkis or Pesach passes, Velo Chag, and he doesn't bring the chagiga, he does not have a responsibility to bring a makeup carbon chagiga. That's how you read the Mishnah. Again, chagiga, bizman chagiga, they're not two separate things in the Brisa.
But Pesach, you have two chagigas. You have one that you do with Korban Pesach and one that you do during Yontif, no? Can you return that?
Is there a separate one?
I'm not sure. Something I remember that we learned, no?
Yeah, I know there's a chagiga that accompanies.
That has to be accompanies the
Korban Pesach.
The Korban Pesach. And then additional to that, there is a chagiga.
Yeah?
No?
Could be, I don't remember. I would assume there's the same one, but you could be right.
I'm not really sure. Something I remember that we can, but I'm not sure.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, you're right. There's a chagiga that's brought in Yudalit and the chagiga that's brought in Yantav. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Chagiga that accompanies the Karban Pesach is a Yudalit chagiga.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You're right. Fine. So then the Gemara says a third explanation of what Zman chagiga means. Rav Ashi Amar, chagiga v'chol Zman chagiga. What does that mean? What does chol Zman chagiga refer to? Ma'achrin, you push it off. Va'filu atzeres t'chad yom ma'achrin. So what the chiddush is? Even on Atzeres, there's also a chiv to bring chagiga on Shavuos. If you don't bring it, that also Zman chagiga means, even though it's not actually a chagiga, even though there's not actually a chagiga anymore, after Shavuos is over, it's still considered a Zman chagiga. It's still the time frame of bringing chagiga that the Mishnah tells us, the Tanan, Modim Shechal Atzeres Lios B'Shabbos. If Shavuos falls out on Shabbos, and you can't bring the chagiga on Shabbos, we learned already, so then, Sheyom Tavuach Achar Shabbos, Yom Tavuach, the day of slaughtering, the day you bring the chagiga is the next day on a Sunday. So everybody agrees to that, that you could bring it, that's Zman chagiga, I'm referring to Shavuos. And we know further, that's why many places don't say Tachnun the week following Shavuos, because if you don't bring it on the Sunday, you could bring it on the Monday. You have a full week after Shavuos to bring the chagiga. And for that reason, we don't say Tachnun in many places on those 7 days after. So that's what Zman chagiga refers to, Shavuos.
So what's Beit Hillel modim in Shavuot? That what? That in Chadatzeret Liot v'Shabbat?
That,
We just said that Beit Hillel say that the chagiga you have to do, you can do it even on Yontev, right?
Correct. But if it falls out on Shabbos, you can't do it on Shabbos.
And in the other, but they always say that, or no?
That they always, yeah, but so what about, so let's look at the Rashi in the bottom here.
Because Shavuos would be, you would say that you might be able to do it because there's no other option. Is that what he's saying?
That, well, let's...
You might think, okay, let's see Rashi.
Rashi explains what the Machlokas is to what they are agreeing to. Rashi writes in the bottom, four lines from the bottom, Modim bat seres shechalias b'shabbos. Maseches chagiga daf yud zayin. What does it tell us there? Nechalku batzeres shechal yos be'er Shabbos. Let's say Shavuos falls out on Friday. Be'shami omrim yom tevuach shal tzeres achar Shabbos. You have to wait until Sunday to do the shechting. Be'shami do tamayu that me olos ein makrim yomtiv. He says you can't bring, in general, you can't bring an ola on yomtiv. Now, hilkach le'yakivu al achar Shabbos. You can't bring it on yomtiv, which is Friday. You can't bring it on Shabbos, so you bring it on Sunday. Now, be'shil omrim ein la yom tevuach. Ain't tarach lhamtin liyom tevuach. You don't have to wait till Sunday. Sheshlamim v'olos makrevim yomtiv. You could bring all these things on Friday on yomtiv itself. However, there even beisil is modim batzeres shechal yos b'shabbos. Then she ain't olos riyah v'shamim chagiga krevim the Shabbos. You can't shecht anything on Shabbos other than the carbon seaver. So therefore, mamtin lo yom tevuach shekabaros. He agrees you could wait until Sunday that you could shecht. In such a case, he'll agree you'll push off to Sunday. Yom la'ach Shabbos amu yeshatum tashum latzeres. So we see. Everybody agrees there's some level of tashumim for Shavuos.
And he doesn't mention Sukkot and Pesach, because for sure you would say that.
Exactly,
because
it's still the Yom Tov.
Still the Yom Tov.
Exactly. Okay, now the Gemara says, with the very last line of Hayyam and Aleph, Amar Rabbi Eleza, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Nata Natiya B'Purim. Rabbi planted once on a Purim. Okay, what's the big deal? He planted a tree. So Gemara says, V'rachat, furthermore, not only did he plant in Purim, also he went in a bath, B'kronos shel tzipori, he went in a bath in a place. So I'm not sure exactly what krona is. Rashi says, B'kronos shel tzipori is B'yom hashuk B'farhesia. He went out in the public to bathe in the public, which is pretty interesting. B'shas hiluch kronos. I'm not sure what hiluch kronos, do they define what kronos are here?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Shuk. Because kronot is, how do you say kronot? Kronos. Wagons. Because many wagons are gathered.
Aha,
shuk.
Ah, okay.
They are cold.
Right, that's why I have here also there's a parish that explains that it refers to cold water.
Wagons.
Okay, so he went out bathe on Purim. And then, hold on one second. Oh, B'Shivas HaBatamas. Okay, yesterday. Ubikesh Lakor Tishbav, he also wanted to completely be Oker Tishbav. Chacham did not agree in any of these. So a few interesting things here. First, how could you just simply uproot Tishbav? So
why did he want to uproot Tishbav?
Right, so let's go. So it's interesting. Look at these two Tosfos on the side here. First Tosfos, Rachatz B'Kronos Shat Tzipori. He went to bathe in public in Tzipori. Lam Dafka B'Krono, not necessarily in this place or in the wagon. Elo Kolmer, before Hesri, he went out in public. Vim Tomer Tosas asks, "My ear yelichotz afil lechol nami mutter. What's the big deal? He bathed on Tishba on Shavas Batamas rather. You're allowed to even eat if you want on Shavas Batamas. Because the Tanya, the Rosh Hashanah, we saw this in Rashi, quoted the other before on Amud Aleph. That ain tzarav ain shalom ratu masanim lo ratu imasanim. When there's a time where there's no tzaros and there's no peace either. Somewhere just kind of things are decently okay. A person has the option of fasting. You could even eat if you wanted. So eating is more severe than bathing. So of course you could bathe. What's the big deal? Yeshlomar came into Kablu, Kvar Avosainu, Alatzma Mistama Gamheim Kablu. So since they already accepted upon ourselves to fast, Mistama they also accepted upon ourselves not to bathe on Shavas Matamas. Fine. Next, Tosa tells us, what exactly, why did he want to uproot Tisha B'Av? Tosa says, Kosha, Hei Chisakadaitach, the High Tana de Rebbe, Haya, Rotsa La'akrav Tisha B'Av, L'gamre, V'ha Amrinan, Kol Ha'ocha V'shosu B'Tisha B'Av, Ein Roa B'Nech Masa Shal Yerushalayim. He said the end of Tainus. Anybody who does not fast, anybody who does not mourn the Beis HaMikdash, is not going to see in the returning of Yerushalayim. V'od, D'ha Ein Basin Yachol, Levata D'Rei Basin Chaveiro, Emkin Gadol Heimano B'Chachma V'Minyan. You can't just uproot a previously established Basin's decree. How could Rebbe suggest this? So V'yesh L'Omar, D'lo Ratz L'Ok, they want to uproot it. Ela Michumra Yishesh B'Yosef Mishar Tainos. He wanted to just lower the severity of it. Say, you don't need all these full 24-hour fast day. You can't wear shoes. Everything's awesome. No, just make it like the other fast days. That's what he wanted to do. But never to be completely ochre the Tishra of that, he never thought of. Just to lessen the severity of it. Or Rashi Tosa suggests, Inami Yesh L'Omar D'Ratz L'Akro Michi Ulakavu B'Asiri K'Damar Yochanan, like we saw in the end of Tainus as well. Ninth wasn't really the right day. Rabbi Yochanan said, had he been around during the establishment of Tisha B'Av, he would have made it on the 10th, because that's when most of the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and burned. That's what he wanted to do.
Who's either Rabbi? Yehuda Hanasi?
Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Yeah. So the Gemara says now, so those are three things that he did. He planted in Purim, he bathed on Shavas Matamas, and wanted to be Oker on the entire day of Tisha B'Av, or we said some aspect of it, and the Chachamim did not agree to him. So it says the Gemara now three lines down, Amar Lefanov Rebbe Abba Bar Zavda Rebbe Lo Kachaya Maisa El Tishabav Shechalis B'Shabbos Hava V'dachin El Achar Shabbos. So he says that this Maisa about Rebbe was not on was not a regular Tisha B'Av, rather it was a Tisha B'Av that fell on Shabbos. It was pushed off to Sunday, and that's the case that Rebbe wanted to uproot, I guess.
So what's the Chiddush?
No, because we still keep Tisha B'Av on Sunday. We still keep it on Sunday. Yeah. Rebbe thought he'd push it off, get rid of it entirely. We said, no, he's still treated like Tisha B'Av, even though it's a Nidche. It's fine. So then the Gemara says, Vama Rebbe, he thought, once you push off Tisha B'Av to Sunday, it's a tenth of Av, just push it off entirely. And the V'lo Hodu Lo Chacham HaChacham did not agree to him. Kari Aleh, Tovim Shnayim Min HaEched, they said, okay, two are better than one. What do you mean two are better than one? Because had you just heard the first statement of Rebbe that he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av, you thought that he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av entirely. So the second person came and clarified, no, he never wanted to uproot it entirely. He simply wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av when it was a Nidcha Tisha B'Av, meaning when it fell on Shabbos and was pushed off to Sunday. That's the only time he wanted to uproot Tisha B'Av. But never did he think to uproot Tisha B'Av in its entirety. So then the Gemara says, Rebbe, heichi natan netiyah b'Purim. How is Rebbe, one of the things he did was planted a tree on Purim. How could Rebbe plant on Purim? V'hotani, Rav Yosef teaches us in a brisa, Simcha mishav yomtuf. What do these three words mean that's found in Megillas Esther? Simcha milamit she'asur behesped. You can't eulogize on Purim. Mishta teaches us milamit she'asur betainis. You can't fast. But Yom Tov finally teaches us milamit she'asur besiyas melacha. You can't do work. So certainly planting is melacha. So how is Rebbe able to plant if it says yomtuf by Megillah? Rebbe lived in a place that read on the 14th, and he was planting on the 15th. So for him, Shushan Purim is nothing for us. Here in America, outside Yerushalayim, Shushan Purim means nothing. We go back to work, we go to school. So he was a 14th person who read on the 14th, and it was the 15th where he was planting. Aini, is that really true? Rebbe b'Tiveri havia. And Tveria became Mokfas Choma Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun Havi. He lived in Tveria, and Tveria was walled from the times of Yeshua Ben Nun. So he how could he be working on the 15th? El Rebbe Bar Chamesa Havi Vichinata Bar Beis Havi. No, okay, you're right. He was really a person who read on the 15th from Tveria, but he's working on the 14th, which is okay. He was he came from Tveria. So on the if you live in Tveria, Yishlein, the 14th means nothing.
Yes.
So he planted on the 14th. Now Mi Pshitilei the Tveria Mukfas Choma Mimos Yeshua Ben Nun. Is it so clear that Tveria was walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun? V'chizkiah kari b'Tveriah bar beisar v'chamesar. Chizkiah leaned on the 14th and the 15th because he wasn't sure if it was walled from the times of Yeshua ben Nun or not. So he played it safe and read them both. B'saf galei, he was unsure. Imokvos choma b'mosa Yeshua ben Nun. He wasn't sure. So what it says, not so problematic. V'chizkiah b'saf galei. The Rebbe pshitilei. So Rebbe was, of course, Chizkiah had a suffix. Rebbe, for some reason, knew for sure that it was either walled or not walled. He knew what it was. He knew it was walled from Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore he only read on the 15th, and he planted on the 14th, which was nothing if you lived in the Tveria. Mara says, V'chip shitilei mishari. Okay, so granted, Rebbe thought it was pashut. He knew the 15th was the day you're supposed to read it. But still, is it so simple, so obvious that you're permitted to plant on the 14th? The Haksiv, the Megillas Tainis, tells us, as Yom Arbasar, Viz Yom Chamishasar. Yom Purya, these days, the 14th and 15th, are days of Purim, for everyone. Inin delo listen misper behud, that nobody's allowed to eulogize on these days. Vama Rava, Rava says on this statement of Megillas Tainis, lo nitzacha elo leeser shazeh bezeh vel shazeh bezeh. So, we don't need to tell me, we know already from the Pesuk of Megillah, that the 14th is already a day I can't eulogize, and the 15th is a day that you can't eulogize in Tveria or Yerushalayim. So why does Megillas Tainis have to list these days? The Megillas Tainis only list days that are not mentioned in Pesukim. It doesn't say you can't eulogize in Pesach or Yisukis because we already know from the Pesukim you can't. So what's Megillas Tainis coming to add on to what he already tells us in Megillas Esther? So Rava tells us, it only comes to tell me to Aser Zebazeh Zebazeh, that if you're a person who lives outside Yerushalayim on the 14th is your day, you still have to respect the 15th and you can't eulogize on the 15th. And if you live in Yerushalayim or Tveria, where your day is the 15th, you still have to respect the 14th, and you can't eulogize on the 14th. So what comes out is, both the 14th and 15th, no matter where you live, Hesped is Asr. So even if you say that Rebbe knew that Tveria was the 15th, he still has to respect the 14th and keep the days of Purim. The Gemara says, Hani Mile b'Hesped v'Tainis. That's only true regarding not eulogizing and not fasting, both 14th and 15th. Aval melacha yom echem semlacha. That's only usher in one day, the day that you read Megillah. For Rebbe, that was the 15th. But for the 14th, that's mutter to do melacha. Mars Eini, is that really true? that you could do Melacha on only, the Isra Melacha is only for one day, not 2 days. V'har Rav, Chazi Lahu Gavr, to have a Kashadi Kisna B'Puria. Rav once saw, person was planting, throwing a seed on Purim, V'latia, and he cursed the seed, V'lot Samach Kisna, and that seed never grew. So, Hasam, maybe that guy was a 14th guy doing the 15th, or vice versa, maybe a 15th guy planting on the 14th. The Gemara says, no, Hasam Bar Yomahava. So no, that guy was planting on the day that he was reading. Rav saw that guy in shul that morning, and the guy was in Megillah reading with him. Later that day, the guy's planting a kisna, so he knew that day was also for melacha for that guy. But maybe the next day on the 15th, Ein Echanami, it would be mutter to do melacha. So then the Gemara says, Rabba Braid Rava, Rabba the son of Rava, Amar Afilu Tema Biyome, even if you want to say on the day itself, Biyome Hespe Vitainis Kabila Layu, Melacha lo kabilayu. Even if you want to say that Rebbe, we're going back to the answer before. Rebbe, we wanted to say initially, Rebbe was a person who read on the 15th, and he's planting on the 14th. Now the Gemara says it's possible to even say that Rebbe read on the 15th, and he did Melacha on the 15th. He planted on the 15th. How could he do Melacha on the 15th? It says Yomtiv. And Yomtiv tells me it's also to do Melacha on Purim. So how is Rebbe doing Netiyah? So Gemara says again, Afilu Tema Biyome, even on the very day he read the Megillah, he did the Melacha. Hesrit Vatainis kabilayu, Melacha lo kabilayu. How do we know? What happened to Melacha? We saw Melacha was Aser. The Mikara in the Megillas Esther, it says initially it's written Ksiv Simcha Mishav Yomtiv. Ulvasov, in the end, however, it only says Ksiv Lasos also Yumei Mishav Simcha Vil Yomtiv Lo Ksiv. Initially, they wanted to make the day of Yomtiv. They realized either that it wasn't supposed to be Yomtiv, or the people couldn't handle another Yomtiv, whatever the reason might be. In the end, it only says keeping a day as Mishnah and Simcha, no mention of Yomtiv. So in the end, it was not a Yomtiv, and there is no Isra Melacha, even on the day that you read Megillah. Okay, so then the Gemara says,
these halachas are actually not when you read the Megillah, are when you find which Purim, right? So let's say.
On both the 14th and 15th, it's Aser, Betainis, and Hesped.
On the small towns that they go, let's say on Monday and Thursday.
Right, so the Mishnah told us on Amun Aleph that if you were a village that went earlier, it would be Butter, Betainis, and Hesped.
Right, that's exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
But they get Matanas Levion.
Exactly. Okay. But the 14th and 15th, right. everywhere, it's Aser, Betainis. Hesped. So then the Gemara says, "Ela Rav, my tamilatye, lahu gavra." So if we're saying that's mutter to work on a day of Purim, we had the story above. Rav is walking along the way, saw a guy planting. Why did Rav curse the seed? So the Gemara says, "Dvar hamutarim v'achem nagubam iser hava." So there's a klal that something that people are knowing. It's a Gemara also in Pesachim. They talk at length there. Something that's really mutter, but people are being knowing it to be usher, a person is not allowed to be mutter. So this case, this place, even though Mikra didn't, it's mutter to Melacha and Purim, this place the Rav was, they accepted upon themselves to keep an Issa Melacha anyways. And if that was the minhag that was established there, and this guy was going ahead and said, look in the Pesukim, there's no Issa Melacha, and he was going to be matir, what the minhag of the Malkum was to usher, that's usher to do. You can't be Parish Minat Sibur. Even though, again, the Minog may have been somewhat of an incorrect Minog, still that was the Minog, and you can't go against the Minog of the place.
It says that you learn it from Shema Bedi Musarabi Favilti Tostorati.
Right, like Gemara Mishachov quotes that passage, exactly. It's a whole story there about a certain family that came, Yochanan's family maybe, I think the children of Yochanan, they had a certain Minog, not to do something. And after the father died, they wanted to know, I think it was working on Erev Shabbos, it talks about Erev Shabbos. They wanted to uproot that Gzera that the minhag the father took upon themselves. They said, no, you have to maintain the minhag of Hussein B'Yadenu and keep that Isser of Melacha on Erev Shabbos. So Gemara says, okay, so if that's the case, now the Gemara says, so now we understand Rebbe, why Rebbe, all in the beginning of the Gemara, why he was planting on Purim. So the Gemara says, the Rebbe Lonag, where Rebbe accepted such a minag to have an Issa Melacha, and they follow based on the Psukim. The Psukim said there's no Yomtiv. In the end of the day, there is no Yomtiv on Purim, so therefore Melacha's Mutter. Rebbe lived in such a place, so therefore he planted on Purim. Ibais Ema, alternatively, another reason why Rebbe may have been planting is the Olonag, really they had such a minag in Rebbe's place to not work on Purim. So why was he planting? Rebbe Netiyah Shel Simcha Nata. He wasn't planting just a stam tree. He was planting a Simcha, a Netiyah of Simcha. Now, what's a Netiyah Shel Simcha? If you remember from the Mishnayos in Tainus, Kedetanan, Avru Eluv Lo Nanu. Let's say there was a big drought, it wasn't raining for many, many months, and they're busy fasting. And they fasted the series of fast days that they're supposed to fast, and they still weren't answered. What's the next step, the Mishnah tells us? Mimatin b'masa matin. You have to diminish the amount of business that's taking place. B'binyan v'netia. You have to stop building and stop planting. B'erusin v'nesuin. No engagements, no marriage. B'tan Allah, and the Brisa comments on this Mishnah, binyan, it's not just any binyan. You could build a building, you could build a house. It's meaning a binyan shel simcha. You can't do a binyan shel simcha. What does that mean? We'll see in a second. And what does it mean, netia? You could plant, of course, but what you can't do is, you can't do netia shel simcha. Well, ezu binyan shel simcha v'zeh habone b'ayis chasnus l'bino. What does a binyan shel simcha mean, that the Mishnah says you can't do during these fast days? It means you can't build a binyan, a chuppah, a house for your newly wed son. Ezehi netia shel simcha. What's a netia shel simcha that's usher during these days of fasting? Zeha netia avroniki shel malchim. It means you can't plant these avroniki of the kings would plant. What's avroniki? Does Rashi tell us? Rashi says, yeah. You see Rashi v'netia? It's around halfway down in Rashi. It's the first word on the line is v'netia. Ha'murakan netia shel simcha. Halfway down the Rashi, the first word is v'netia. Right around where your hand is. The one below that. Three lines below that. Vinatia. First word in the line is Vinatia. Ha'amurakan, the Natia that we're referring to is Natia Shel Simcha. Could go in Avarniki, Ilan Shetzelo Na, a tree that has a lot of nice shade. Could go in Ilan Shekofen Oso Agave Klonsos, Visedos, Ramlochen Ochlin Tachla Bimosachama. The kings would sit below these very shaded trees during the summer months, Ums Adenba, Bimini Smachos, Vinim, and they'd enjoy their time. That's what it refers to. I seem to remember also the Gevar and Tainus, and maybe Rashi and Tainus says it refers to, it was like a mazel. When they have a new son, like a prince, they'd plant the tree. As the tree would grow, the son would grow. I thought it was something to do with that. But maybe I'm wrong. Okay, then the Gemara says, quoting from the issue above about Tiveria. Gemara tells us, Gufa, quoting above, that Chizkiah kari b'Tiveria bar besar v'vachamesar. Chizkiah misafkali, he wasn't sure whether or not imokvos chomos mimos shubanunhi ilah. He wasn't sure if it was walled. It had a wall, but wasn't sure when the wall was built. So he wasn't sure. Therefore, he read both in the 14th and the 15th. Gemara says, "Umimasafkale." Was it really milsa de Tiberia? Was it really unclear whether or not it was walled from the times of shubanun? Haksiv, doesn't the pasuk tell us? Are mivsar hatzadim tsar vechemas rekas v'kineres. And Ari Mivsar are fortified cities, cities that are protected with walls. And one of them listed is a place called Rekes. The Kaimlan, and we hold, I think it's Gemara in Yuma, right? That says, maybe not, Rekes, Zu, Tiveria, that refers to Tiveria. So Tiveria is a fortified city, so it was certainly walled. And this was a pasuk that's found where? In Yeshua. So it was from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So it was walled and fortified from the times of Yeshua ben Nun. So what's the suffix?
Yeah, and Daf Vav is going
to say. Daf Vav tells us, okay. So that's tomorrow's Daf. So what's the suffix? It was clearly, Rekes is Tiveria. So once we have the Masorah that Rekes is Tiveria. And the Pasuk in Yeshua tells us that Rekes was fortified, so clearly it was fortified and walled from the times of Yeshua. What's the suffix? Well, says, I'll tell you what the suffix is. Hainu time with the Masafik. This is why he wasn't sure, Chizkiah. Mishum dechad gisa shur de yamahavis. One side was a water, Tiveria is on the water, right? Yam Kinaris is right there. So it was fortified, it was protected, but it wasn't walled from all sides. So this was the suffix. So if it was not walled, so Vade Lav Chomahu, it certainly wasn't a walled city then. It was fortified, but it wasn't walled. So it certainly should only read on the 14th, it shouldn't be read on the 15th. Titania, Asher Lochoma, that it has to have a wall, Velo Shur Igra, not a protected side of water, not a moat. Saviv, Pratla Tiveria, this comes to exclude Tiveria, has to be Saviv, completely surrounded by a wall, to exclude Tiveria, Shiyama Chomasa, Linen. Yamachamasa, that one side of the city is protected by the water. So this certainly should not be, you should not read on the 15th. It's not considered a wall. Or it says, no, Linian Bati Arichoma, these psukim of Ashelochama Saviv, that is a pasuk by Bati Arichoma we spoke about yesterday. The law is of buying and selling property in Eretz Yisrael. We have up until Yovel, up until 2 years, all these halachas of different types of houses, different types of cities. So that nothing to do with Purim. So when it comes to Bati Arichoma, Lomansafkali, there's no suffix. Certainly Tiveria does not qualify as a Bati Arichoma for the halachas of buying and selling property. Ki Kamasafkali, when was Chizkiah unsure? Lina Mikra Megillah. My Prozim and my Mokvim. When it comes to Megillah, what's the definition of an unwalled city and a walled city? The Chziv Gavi Mikra Megillah. On one end, you could say, Mishim Dehani Migli, Vahani Lo Migli. is it possible to say a walled city is closed and open city is open? And therefore Tveria is open because you can see one side of Tveria, you go to the other side, Yam Kineris, it's not surrounded, it is open. Is that the definition? Does wall mean closed versus open? Oh, Dilma, the definition is Mishum Dahani Migne Vahani Lo Migne. Or is it about protected? Walled cities are protected, unwalled cities are not protected. Vahanami Migne. But Tveria is protected because the water, it's protected from the water. So is the definition of walled meaning it has to be mamish walled, covered, or does it mean protected? That was the suffix Chizkiya had. Right, so the question is, but is that the reason because of protection, or is the reason because of wall? But that was mamish a wall, the water became a wall there. Not because water in general serves the purpose of a wall.
That's in the pshat, but in the...
Pinyas.
Okay.
Says the Gemara, Mishum Halki, Misafkalei, for this reason, Chizkiya was unsure when to read the Megillah. Rav Asi, Kari Megillah Behutal, Bar Besar, V'chamesar. Rav Asi, read the Megillah on 14th and 15th in this place called Hutzal. Misafkalei, he was also unsure about this. This had a wall, apparently. Imok v'schome mimosa yishubanun, he ilah. He wasn't sure. Let's see, should we go on? When does this piece end? Let's read, I think, one more line here. Let's read the Ikadamri, then we'll stop there, I guess. Ikadamri, others say that, lost the place for a second. Ikadamri, Amar Rav Asi, Hai Hutal, Debase Binyamin, Mukwas Choma Miyoshuahu. So this place, I'm not sure exactly where Hutal is, Hutal in Beis Binyamin, that was Vandai walled from the times of Yeshua Benun, and therefore you'd read only on the 15th.
It says that